Research suggests that on Tuesday night, over 40 million people, at least 40 million people, made a New Year's resolution. Research also suggests that there will be maybe 20 million people who will have given up on that resolution by the end of this month. And that only perhaps 2 million absolute tops will have seen that resolution right the way through to the end of December this year. It would appear that making decisions is a lot easier than persevering with them and keeping right to the end with them. But one of the Christmas messages that we've had in our blessings over this Christmas season has talked about the perseverance of the wise men. They're staying with it. They looked ahead. They saw something better and they followed it. They wanted to know what it meant. They longed to understand where it was going to take them. And so I wonder where you are with that today on this first Sunday of this new year 2020. I wonder what it is that you are longing for in your life or with your family or friends this year. What is it that you might be longing for, even for the church? What is it, do you think, that God might be longing for you, for me, for us as church in this place? And what might happen if we chose to follow him and to see where he was going to take us? Isaiah, in that first reading that Piers gave us, speaks of better times ahead. When we live with God, when we do life with God, there are better times ahead. Darkness will become light, times of exhaustion and emptiness become times of plenty and sustenance and abundance, and times of confusion can become times of direction and times of purpose when we look to God and when we live life with God. Matthew reminds us of the journey of the Magi, and in doing so, he sets out again a cycle of behavior and response that appears time and time again in Scripture. Yesterday, it happened countless numbers of times across the planet. Today will be the same. Tomorrow will be the same. And it is this. When we begin a journey, when we respond to God's call, God calls us into worship. And as we worship and we give ourselves in worship, we receive from God. And as we receive all that God has for us, it makes us want to respond to his call. And as we respond to his call, we give ourselves in worship. As we give ourselves in worship, we receive all that God has for us. And as we receive all that God has for us, it makes us want to respond to his call. And so we respond in worship. And you see, it goes round and round. The wise men responded to that call. It was a call that led them into unfamiliar territory, but it led them into a life-transforming encounter with God that changed everything. They brought their gifts. We sing of it, we read of it, we look at it again as we walk up for communion with our kings down here. They brought their precious gifts, but we can ask ourselves, well, what can we bring? What can we give? But then we've sung, haven't we, the words that's in that carol during this Christmas season that asks that question in of us, what can I give him, poor as I am? And the response is, give him the thing that is most precious of all that we have, which is ourselves, which is our heart and our will. That is the most precious thing we have. To trust God enough to give that to him. And here's the most amazing paradox, because as we give ourselves to God and say, I'm yours, it's only then, actually, that we truly experience complete freedom as we step into that with God. And we experience that because when we do that, we are actually acknowledging that we are not God, that He is. And when you trust Him and you give yourself to Him, we are not God. Giving Christ our heart is to trust Him completely with everything we are. And as we do so, we acknowledge everything that He is to us and everything that He has done for us. See, it's Him who's paid the price of our sin. It is Him who has made us right with God. It is Him who has secured an eternal destiny with God. Life-giving, life-liberating, life-empowering relationship with God. And the more we trust God in that, the more we enter into that freedom of that life that God is promising us. It's that cycle of experience I was referring to a moment ago. But it requires perseverance, and it requires encouragement from one another and from God Himself. Last January, our covenant service, I spoke of God's promise, provision, and purpose. 2019 gave us an opportunity as church to investigate and explore who we are actually as church. It gave us an opportunity to attend study groups, to attend prayer groups, to attend home groups, to attend for the first time a service once a month where we can all come together to worship God and to experience what He has for us together. And by doing so, what we're doing is we're acknowledging the value of one another. That we are all valuable. That we're all precious. And as we come together, we create something far greater and far more significant than we could ever do on our own. We value our differences. We value our different journeys. We value our different gifts. We value our different experiences as we come together. And as we come together, we can grow together. We can receive together. You know, when we set off with this idea and vision for the benefice service, the gathering, the phrase that we were working with was, we gather to scatter. We come together because together we are stronger. We build one another up to go out into the world and to do what God is calling us to do. You see, being church is not and has never meant to be a solitary experience. It's about us working together, exploring and discovering and receiving from God together, encouraging one another as we are here, but also encouraging that welcome to those who aren't yet a part of who we are. And opening that door, an opportunity for them to experience that life-giving, life-transforming encounter of living life with God, day by day. No one truly knows what it was that the Magi were following. But they followed, and they persevered. But one thing is certain, that the light they saw started its journey millions of years before. An explosion of light began, and then it travelled across the cosmos until on that day and on that occasion, they saw it and they responded. I just think that's incredible. See, God's timing is perfect, but they made a decision to respond to that timing. That thing that led them into that encounter with God. So where might God be leading you then, this year? Where might God be leading us as a church? One thing is for sure. He does not desire us to stay as we are. It's wonderful that he accepts us where we are. But praise God, he doesn't want to leave us there. And he always wants to move us on. Do you not see? I'm doing a new thing. And so the call is for us to step into that willingly and to see what adventure God might be taking us on, individually but also corporately as church. And so we come to our covenant prayer, which you've been given as you came in, and hopefully you've had an opportunity there to look at and to see, because it's a big commitment. But it's a commitment that's not like making a New Year's resolution where we try and do that in our own strength. But here, we are responding to God's call. As we give ourselves to him, he gives himself to us. And it's an invitation to respond to that, to be willing to open our hearts to him in that. And I wonder where that might lead us, what great adventure that will take us on as church in this place. In a moment, we're going to say that together. I invite you to say it. No one's forcing you to. And during the administration of the bread and the wine, there'd be an opportunity at the back of the side chapel here, again, to receive anointing today with oil. Vera and Margaret will be there. That opportunity for you to do some business with God and to just ask him to place that seal on you, whatever it might be. You don't need to share anything unless you want to. But Vera and Margaret will pray with you and pray that anointing on you. It might be to seal the promise that you're making. It might be some of the desire that's on your heart today that you want to bring before Almighty God at the start of this year and to let him have it. But that opportunity is there for you, should you wish to take that. But we come now then to our covenant prayer. And I give you just a moment now to look again at those words. And then I invite you to join with me as we say that together, as we commit ourselves afresh to that adventure that God is calling us into, as we give ourselves to him. So we say, I am no longer my own but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things, wherever you may place me, in all that I do and in all that I may endure. When there is work for me and when there is none, when I am troubled and when I am at peace, your will be done. When I am valued and when I am disregarded, when I find fulfillment and when it is lacking, when I have all things and when I have nothing, I willingly offer all that I have and am to serve you, as and where you choose. Glorious God, you are mine and I am yours. May it be so forever, and let this covenant now made on earth be fulfilled in heaven. Amen. And as we remain seated in an attitude of prayer, let's speak together the words of faith that will appear on the screen for us, and then Jennifer's going to come forward and lead us in our intercessions. We can say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty.